Well, this morning, our senior pastors want to send you a greeting. They want to say hello and happy Memorial Day. And they're out of town having some family time and taking care of one of their greatest priorities. And as they have a growing family and more grandchildren, they're just amazing folks and spending some family time. But they love you all and wanted to give you a greeting. And so this morning we have a special guest speaker, and most of you know him very well as our main worship leader and our director of worship here at Living Faith Fellowship. And we're so grateful that he traveled half a block to be here with us this morning. Would you please welcome Mr. Curtis Troll?
I can't remember. Am I on or is it the wrong way? Am I the wrong way?
You got it.
Is that right? I'll have you know I walk that half a block sometimes.
All right.
Great. Well, as some of you finish bringing your children to the nursery, I want to start today with a little video clip, and I'll share with it after we get done. I'm going to start that.
Now, I realize it's fashionable in some circles to believe that no one in government should encourage others to read the Bible. That we're told that we'll violate the constitutional separation of church and state established by the founding fathers in the First Amendment. The First Amendment was not written to protect people and their laws from religious values. It was written to protect those values from government tyranny. No matter where we live, we have a promise that can make all the difference. A promise from Jesus to soothe our sorrows, heal our hearts, and drive away our fears. He promised there will never be a dark night that does not end. Our weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. He promised if our hearts are true, His love will be as sure as sunlight. And by dying for us, Jesus showed how far our love should be ready to go. All the way. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We all call it so. I've said before that the most sublime picture in American history is of George Washington on his knees in the snow at Valley Forge. That image personifies a people who know that it's not enough to depend on our own courage and goodness. We must also seek help from God, our Father and Preserver. I've said that we must be cautious in claiming God is on our side. I think the real question we must answer is, are we on His side? My experience in this office I hold has only deepened a belief I've held for many years. Within the covers of that single book are all the answers to all the problems that face us today if we'd only read and believe.
Isn't that great? Well, my purpose in that was not to give a tribute to Ronald Reagan as much as I saw that and I asked myself, gosh, do you remember when a president would say that? You know, it's a even Christians today sometimes think that it's no longer right to bring Christian talk in the public sector, that it's all supposed to be neutralized. And well, that's when our president didn't think so. And so if we would remember that, maybe things would be different these days. Well, this morning I want to talk about remembering. We're going to talk about remembering in the context of, first of all, Memorial Day. We're celebrating a national holiday for this weekend. And then I want to talk about the act of remembering on our part, that it falls into the plan of God. First of all, so today we remember, our nation remembers, it's Memorial Day, celebrated on this Monday. And for many, it's kind of come down to us a three-day weekend, time for barbecues, sleeping in, family get-togethers. But the foundation and the reason for the holiday is that we would remember those that have given their lives for defense of this country and for defense of the values that this country was founded upon. It's easy to forget both. It's easy to forget our fallen heroes, unless sometimes it's we've had some personal family member or acquaintance. But it's also easy to forget those principles sometimes that the country stands on and all this hubbub that we have going around in the political world. And sometimes we look at this as what some have termed a post-Christian time of our history. Well, maybe it's time for us to remember some of these things. Several people from our congregation traveled to Haiti not long ago, and a few of us are going to be leaving a week from today and going to Africa. And on these trips, ministering to the impoverished of the planet, it's easy to compare their lives with the absolute abundance that we enjoy in this nation. So this day also, I want to remember that I don't live a life that I live because of necessarily any diligence or resourcefulness of my own. I live a life that I live largely because there were those that went before me and sacrificed their lives to defend and protect this. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." A little over a week ago, President Obama awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor to Army Specialist 4 Leslie Sabo Jr., a soldier who died while serving in the Vietnam War. He's Company B, 3rd Battalion, 506th Infantry, 101st Airborne Division, who's become known famously as the Screaming Eagles. While on a mission in Cambodia in 1970, Company B was ambushed and nearly surrounded. Les Sabo, then 22 at the time, ran to the front, charged one enemy gun position, knocked it out, was wounded, charged another enemy gun position, knocked it out, wounded some more. His a comrade was wounded and laying in the middle of the clearing. He ran to get his comrade, and a grenade was thrown at them. He was able to throw the grenade back, and then while it exploded, he shielded his friend from the blast and was wounded further. So, I told Pastor Phil, I go, you know, I think I'm gonna run a video of this part from the ceremony. He goes, no, you got to share it. I go, yeah, but every time I think about this, I get really choked up. So he goes, he starts moving towards a gun emplacement that is giving many casualties to his company, crawling as he goes, firing as he goes, getting wounded as he goes. People said the guys that witnessed the event during the battle said there was shots landing all around him. He was able to get close enough to the bunker, grabbed a grenade, and then flipping the fuse, he waited to the last minute to throw it. And then by throwing it, he knocked out the gun emplacement, and he also sacrificed his own life as he did it. His heroism cost him his life, but he saved the lives of his comrades. Well, not long after the battle, the company survivors began the paperwork that was going to start right away recommending Les Sabo for the Medal of Honor. But as things go, the paperwork was lost, and it was all dropped. And his life was forgotten. But in 1999, a man named Alton Mabb, a former member of the 101st Airborne, was doing some research for an article for the division's magazine. And while he was looking through the National Archives, lo and behold, he stumbles across the lost paperwork. Well, he found, then he set out to see that Les Sabo would be remembered. And he succeeded. But probably the most touching thing in the ceremony happened after the presentation. And you won't see it on most of the news clips. I just happened to be watching it while it was taking place on the television. But the president turned to members of the Company B that were survivors and were present, and he acknowledged them. Now, if you lived during that time, you remember that the Vietnam War was a very divisive and difficult time in our country's history. Soldiers returned. They had fought horrible battles, and many times they were, because of the feelings about the war, they could have been spit upon. My brother was called a baby killer. I know of people who have never been right mentally, because in returning they were absolutely rejected by friends and sometimes by family. That's not right. And on that day, the president commented on the wrong that was given them, and he thanked them in front of national TV. So regardless of your politics, that was a good commander-in-chief. So a group of veterans that were not ever recognized properly, they stood there amongst the top-ranking military officials of the day, our president, Secretary of Defense, and many Congress members, and they all stood and applauded them. And you should have seen it. These men who many times could have been almost ashamed of what they went through. They stood there, and many of them wept. They stood there in shock. Some of them just stood there going, oh. Well, these people stood. And it wasn't just a complimentary clap. It wasn't for courtesy's sake. These people were clapping, cheering, standing, and it went on and on. And these guys were just in disbelief. But I thought, you know, it's good to remember. It's good. So that was a great day. The fact is, the miracle is that we can remember. Oh my gosh. I think memory is a miracle. Ever thought about that? What causes a memory to come out of nowhere? It's a powerful thing. Do memories hide in our brain cells so that out of nowhere they come out? You know, I mean, some people are gifted. I wish I was. I wish I was one of those purple people who, when you're supposed to remember something, all of a sudden you come around and you interact. Oh, hey, I was supposed to do that. And you remember it. Some people are gifted. Well, sometimes I'm not, you know. Memories can also be very practical. We can remember that we need to remember if a red light means stop. That's very important. If you didn't remember that, you'd be in trouble. We also need to remember what day it is, or your wife's birthday, or your anniversary. If you forget those, you're in big trouble. So memories are practical. No one wants to be thought of as being forgetful. You know, you're forgetful. You're full of forget. You know, sometimes I feel like that. You go to the honey stop when you're on the way back. Stop and you can pick up some milk. Sure, will do. Come back, honey. Did you pick up the milk? Bah, gosh, I forgot. You know, and you start like, and you make these excuses like, oh, this is the last time. And I do that. I make up an excuse. Have you ever done that? I've heard some of you do that. It's like an excuse. I forgot. That's my excuse. I'm forgetful. I forgot, and I didn't think about it again, and so I forgot. Well, the reality of it is, I didn't bring the milk home, and I try to use forgetfulness as this excuse. Well, remembering is important, very practical. It also is deeper. We remember things like the Holocaust of World War II, the genocide in Rwanda in the 90s, which was some of us are going, and a group are going to be there, and Tony's going to go there and share a lot of our Bible courses with some pastors there. Their motto is, never forget. September 11th, 2001. So one time, though, I realized while looking at this, many times remembering is simply the basis to spark a response or an action on our part. Just as simple, by simply remembering, it should cause something. It isn't a matter of being able to shake our heads and bring it out. It's just like when remembering, we have a response. It's important. God wants us to remember. There are several examples in Scripture that God felt very strongly that we should remember. And knowing, God's amazing. Since He made us, you know, He knows how we tick. So He has these things He wants us to remember, so He puts them alongside like a festival or a feast so that we would remember. It's a thing that God invented long ago. We think we've kind of recently remembered, thought of this whole thing about mental association with a memory, and that kind of helps us remember that. You know, you've heard people talk about that. You know, there's a couple old guys, a couple old guys were talking about getting older. You know, how it is. As I get older, sometimes I get in these conversations. You start talking about how the, you know, the joints don't work as good anymore, and you're not as have as much energy. And so the one guy says to his friend, though, he says, hey, listen, though, I have a great memory now. I'm remembering all kinds of things. His buddy says, what do you mean? You're terrible at your memory. The guy goes, oh, no. I went to the seminar, taught us how to associate different things with a memory, and I can remember all kinds of details now. And the guy's friend goes, well, that is amazing. What was the seminar? And the guy goes, wait. My wife went with me, and I'll ask her. So he goes upstairs, goes to check with his wife, and he stops, and he goes, I got it. Okay, what are those flowers that are long-stemmed? They got thorns. And his buddy goes, you mean a rose? He goes, that's it. Hey, Rose, honey, do you know the seminar we went to? What was the name of that? You see? So there's ways we can remember. Remembering is good. It's good to have ways. Well, God gave us a few ways, okay? We're going to go through a couple of those. These are important. The Passover. Passover was the first ordained festival, the God-ordained festival of the Hebrew people. It's been celebrated every year somewhere for the past 3,500 years. Isn't that amazing? Exodus 13:3. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. That was important for them to remember. All that there, you know, we've seen the movies of the Exodus, and heard all the stories of Moses and the Red Sea parting, and there's plenty of people that look at that as like, well, that was kind of a movie script, wasn't it? Well, it's very important for us today because, first of all, that's the beginning of the Jews as a people, as a nation, but it also we work the whole plan of Christ being our substitution on the cross is coupled with the Passover feast. So this is a very important thing for us to remember. To call it a myth or a fairy tale shoots down everything that has to do with Judaism and Christianity. So this is important to remember. I believe further on, the Passover feast and that's being celebrated proves that God exists. Okay? You know, the people of Israel are still a people today. And the Passover connects us with this miraculous history. These miracles that took place that we read about in the Bible. We can say, oh yeah, those are really, they just wrote about that. It happened centuries ago. Okay, well tell me, at what point in history were they going to all get together and make this up? When in that 3,500 years from now did they all get together and say, okay, all million or so of us, let's get together and let's make up this little feast, this festival. We'll call it Passover, and we'll make up this story about God doing miracles in Egypt. The feast is going to be really hard to prepare for. You know, we're going to have weird bread. We're going to sacrifice an animal. We're going to do all this stuff. It's going to be really hard. And it's going to last about a week. But I'll tell you what, if we get this together and wink, 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 we don't tell anybody. We're going to have this, and we got to all agree, no one's going to say a thing, and once we start it now, we're going to do this every year for 3,500 years, and we're going to fool all of our people, all of our children, all of our grandchildren, and all of the people forever. What a plan. Well, don't tell me, listen, I've been to Israel, you know, and don't tell me you're going to get a bunch of Jews in a place and get them all to agree about one thing, you know, unless it's true, and it goes down to the very core of their beating. I'll tell you what, they will fight to the death for that. And so the fact that this has been celebrated every year, it tells me this has to be true. God exists. And I'll tell you what, the world hates that. The world hates that proof, and they want to wipe it out as a myth. And I'll say, to this day, it tells them that to this day that God is there, and the world hates God. Okay, then connected with that, we've got the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion. We celebrate that as Christians. And I ask myself, without Holy Communion, what would the story of Christianity be like today? If we didn't have that regular remembering of what Christ did on the cross, how would the Christian faith have morphed over the years? So how weird would it have been? You know, then, but we are every time we celebrate Holy Communion, we remember the one thing, and we recite it again. And we remember, remember, and remember. And my parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, my great-great-great-grandparents, they all remembered it. Why? God had this great idea to think up a little festival and a thing we would do to remind us so that we would remember. And I used to go kind of talk with God about, but why did he use that language? You know, when he says, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me? Even back then, many left him. I go, why did you use that terminology? I mean, it's kind of a put-off, don't you think? He was like, what? It sounds so bizarre. And I thought, but because he used that language, we weren't able to ever take it at face value. If he would have said just, hey, take a little chunk of bread, take a little bit of wine, do that, and remember me, and it's all great. Well, if he would have said that, I think I would have come out of, we would have stopped doing it long ago. As just like, this, we're going to do this again? That's so stupid. You know, it's not like we shake holy water over each other anymore. That's what they used to do before. We don't do that anymore. Because it's like, well, why? Well, because he put this odd talk in it, we were never able to take it at face value. We had to go, well, he's not talking about eating his flesh. I know that. And we're not drinking his blood. So what is he talking about? And it forces us every time to go, what's he really meaning? And we go it deeper. We take it deeper. And you know what? It wasn't bizarre talk. God was masterful. He got to meet it in such a way that we've got to go, what's he meaning? And we dig deeper. We say it. We do Holy Communion. We remember. And we pass it on and pass it on and pass it on. But you know, God, that was just, God kind of understands, doesn't he? Okay? It's important to remember. Another old feast in the Hebrew calendar is the Feast of Purim. Now, this wasn't God ordained. This was made up by the Hebrews themselves. But I think it's because it shows an indication. The Hebrews figured out, wait a minute. We want to remember something. Let's put it beside a feast, and then we'll remember it. So that's what they figured it out. So here in Esther 9:27-28, remember this is when Esther, a Hebrew woman, became queen of the Persian Empire. And they were going to be exterminated, but God saved them. I won't tell the story now. But the scripture says, now the Jews established and imposed it upon themselves and their descendants and all who would join them, that without fail they should celebrate these 2 days every year, according to the written instructions and according to the prescribed time, that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, that these days of Purim should not fail to be observed among the Jews, and that the memory of them should not perish among their descendants. Again, when would they have thought that up and made a story? You know, I mean, I can only imagine some would have said, we're not going to buy into that. That's not true. I mean, they have these Purim, we have the Purim Jews and the non-Purim Jews, you know, so that some believe in it, some won't propagate it. No, the whole nation has believed this forever. There's no indication ever throughout centuries that anybody rose up and said, wait a minute, I don't feel good about saying this little story. Can we just forget it? No, they all believe it. So that tells me, wait a minute, they didn't just start it out of random happenstance. It must be true. And it lets them remember, there was a day, this is the Hebrew people, the Israel nation could tell themselves, remember, there was a day when the plan was to exterminate all of us on this planet. Well, that kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? This happened again, and it's happened again, and there's many who believe that there's a plan still again. There are still those that want to exterminate them off this planet. You know? But, lo and behold, they were smart enough to remember, let's make a feast. Let's remind ourselves every year that there is a movement out there to try to eradicate us. Ha! Let's say they learned their lesson. Okay. So there's some things, though, that we want God also to remember. God wants us to remember certain things. Well, we want God to remember certain things, too. We can ask him things like Solomon, 2 Chronicles 6:41-42. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests, O Lord, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed. Remember the mercies of your servant David. Excuse me. This was a time when they were dedicating the temple, the gorgeous temple in Jerusalem that was built. He was setting the Ark of the Covenant in there. I won't go into the whole story. But he was saying, oh God, let this remember the mercies you gave to my father David. And that tells me it's okay to pray prayers like that. It's okay for us to pray prayers like, oh Lord God, remember the hearts and the vision that you gave the people who built this room. You know, remember the vision for the being filled with worship, being filled with the presence of the Lord, being filled with worshipers, so that the presence of God would be proclaimed throughout our whole region. God, remember that. That's okay to pray prayers like that. You know? Nehemiah 13:14. Remember me, O God, concerning this, and do not wipe out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for its services. It's okay to remember. Sometimes people have served a lot around this house, and it's okay to pray, God, pray, God, you know, I don't win my salvation by serving after you, but God, remember how I've served you. Especially as we get later in our years, I say that a lot more. Oh God, remember how I've served you. You know, there's some people around here, you be around here on a Saturday afternoon when it's not crew day. You're going to find the people who come in and serve anyways. Tony Wofford is usually here, but I don't want to use your name a lot. I don't want to embarrass you. Okay. But you know what? Some people serve anyways. No one sees. No one sees, but God sees. Psalm 25:7. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. That's okay. It's okay to go, God, don't. Come on, God, don't bring that to my account. I repent of that. God, don't remember that. Remember me according to your goodness and your mercy. It's okay to pray prayers like that. It's the little things. God remembers little things. Mark 14:3-9. And being in Bethany, this is now Jesus, being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask, poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. Well, that's not a bad cause, selling things and giving to the poor. It's not like that was bad. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Well, that wasn't that big of a deal. But she did it to him, and she did what she could. Some of us, that's what God's asking us to do for him. Just do what we can. It isn't asking us to hey, listen, if you don't have enough computer skills, or if you don't have a way of giving and serving that's going to be prospered in ministry, and you can't be rose up in a grander ministry than now. He doesn't say that. But he says here, the reason she's going to have a memorial written for her wherever this gospel is preached is that she did what she could. So that's what he asks of us. He asks us to do what we can. Malachi 3:16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. I love that verse. Is your name written in there? Are you one that fears the Lord, gathers with others to talk about him? I mean, gathering like we are here. This is good. Gathering in small groups. If you're a member of a small group, get the part of a small group. Gather together with people of God and again, talk about the Lord. It's good. Because God hears, and he remembers. It's good to remember. There are little things that can matter. A few years ago up on Kamiak Butte, some of us were having a picnic. And we were talking about fried chicken and stuff. And I shared the story about my Uncle Herman. My Uncle Herman, Herman Solberg, most of my family was from Norway. But he got polio at 12. So all the time I knew him, he was in a wheelchair. But my mom tells a story of when he was at Children's Orthopedic Hospital, which is going on then. He befriended this lady who was one of the benefactors of the hospital, a very wealthy lady. Well, one time, the lady came out to bring Herman and some of the siblings off to a picnic. And my mom says, this lady, it was like the pictures, this long car, chauffeur up front, little window, ladies in back, packed all these kids. She goes, it was just this huge car. Back in the time when people didn't have cars, but she was ultra rich. Took him out. And having fried chicken, and my mom says, me and my sisters were trying so hard to cut the chicken with a fork and a knife. And the lady, the rich lady, goes, hey, when we're on a picnic, we eat with our fingers. You know? And then, all those kids just went, oh, and they had a wonderful time. And then Teresa Williams commented, interesting. She goes, wow, isn't it interesting that after 70 years, that one act of kindness was being talked about, and it's still a blessing to us. And we still talk about it to this day. And I thought, wow. First, it was cool that I thought, wow, how many of my things I do blesses anybody or that they would ever remember. And I was thinking, there was a time up in Spokane. I'll tell you a little story. I told this to my wife. I don't know if I told it to anybody else. I was up in Spokane at Costco, going to go do some errands and then go see Jason Tordale. Those that don't know, Jason Tordale is now, as he's rehabilitating from a horrible auto accident, and he's paralyzed from the chest down. So I went up to Costco, and here I was in line, and here was this lady who was in a wheelchair struggling to get some stuff up to the counter, and I went through and I go, ma'am, would it be helpful if could I put that stuff up there for you? And she looked at me, she goes, oh, thank you. So I put her stuff up for her, it was no big deal, and then I said to her, I go, hey, you wait for me, I'll come up to your car with you. She goes, okay. And so I get done, and I look around, I get done with my stuff, look at, and here she is sitting there with her cart and in her wheelchair looking at me and smiling, and I go, ah. So and if you know people with wheelchairs, they just know that they can go to the front of the line. So I grab her cart, and she just takes off. And you look at Costco, these people are lined up, ready to go out and get checked off with their receipt. I'm just running by, I'm going, hey, I'm with her. And we get out, and she goes out to her own van, and she has this little lift that goes down, and we put the stuff in the back, and I go, man, this is incredible. I said, you get around like this? This is your van. I go, I have a friend who someday would love to be able to have a van like this and be able to get around. But right now, he's just starting rehabilitation, and he's really not doing too well. And she said to me, she goes, well, tell him it gets better. I go, well, he's paralyzed from the chest down. She goes, oh, me too. She says, it's been about 20 years. And I go, well, his grip isn't all that great. She goes, oh, gosh, mine's horrible too. You know, but these controls, they really work great. She goes, just tell him. It gets better. And I go, ma'am, I think I was here to talk to you for him. So I was able to go to Jason after that. Jason, guess who I saw? And I saw, because that one little thing that I just thought, oh, gosh, I would have felt worse if I hadn't done that. So it's not like it was a big deal. I was able to bless Jason with a little simple story. And then he was so lifted and being able to go, it gets better. So that's his memory now is, but I remember when Curtis went up to Costco, I remember it gets better. So today, so in conclusion, it's Memorial Weekend. We want to remember the lives that were given on our behalf. And we also want to be those that gather. Some of you are going to gather today. Gather in the fear of the Lord. Talk about the good things of God. And ask, have we lived a life that when people talk about us, they too remember and tell the story straight. They remember the good things of God by talking about you. Will they tell stories of us? Like the woman with the anointing with Jesus? If we just do what we can, will we be remembered? Will we tell our stories? And more importantly, like with that woman, will God remember?
That's important. So anyways, as we dismissed, go about your day. There'll be people up here ready to pray. As always, for every service, there's always people up here. If you have any need, whether it be a healing, whether it be a personal need, whether it be just stuff, the struggle you're going through that you want to have, health and help and encouragement, there are always those up here who will be praying. Please come up. If they're praying for somebody, just wait. No? If you want to spend some time with the Lord, you want to sit there, or more importantly, if you want to bless somebody today, even before you leave here, a very appropriate thing to do. They'll probably remember it. Do something. Okay? Above all, let's remember the good things of God and go up and talk about Him. Amen. You're dismissed.